Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts, the first chapter, verses 6 through 14, and we're using the New Revised Standard Version. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Thus ends the reading.
Thank you.
Billy Sunday said that an excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. You remember the story. After Adam had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he excused his sin by, well, of course, blaming Eve. And then Eve excused her sin by blaming Satan. The Bible is full of people who made excuses when God called them to a line of service. You remember the story of Moses? When God called him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses said, I stutter. So the Lord said, "That's all right. I'll give you a mouthpiece," and sent Aaron as a spokesperson. "Now go," God said. He doesn't want excuses. God didn't want people to say, "I can't," when they were called. Today's text gives that same kind of scenario. Jesus had guided his disciples through some very trying times, and he had taught them for 3 years, preparing them for their own ministries. And he had died, but giving them the faith to believe in him as the Messiah when he rose from the dead. But now it was time for them to go on their own, and Jesus told them, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The only catch was Jesus was not going to be with them in the body anymore, not visibly at their side. And when the truth finally sunk in, they were overwhelmed. How could they survive on their own? They couldn't. In a similar way, many of us think that God gives us tasks that are simply too difficult to handle. Maybe you're being called to serve alongside our new social justice team, a team that will strive to work for social justice through prayer, action, love, ministry, and support. God is calling you to pray or give financially or make some calls, or send some emails, but you might find it difficult to embrace all of the facets of social justice that might need to be addressed. LGBTQ issues, religious expression, racial inequality, immigration and refugee assistance, criminal justice reform. I can't do that. Nope. Or maybe God is calling you to walk in a new way, change an old habit, start a new spiritual discipline. And your first impulse is, oh man, I can't do that. Jesus has some encouragement for us today. Will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth be filled with your Spirit. May you open our hearts and minds for what you have for us today that could potentially change the world. We pray these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus gives us two cans for those who think I can't. Jesus says you can with heavenly help. My cousin, Jeff Tipton, was born with foot and leg deformities. And naturally, my aunt and uncle were very concerned about what the outcome might be. My uncle was very involved in sports, specifically baseball. And so, like father, like son, there was a bunch of concern about, is my kid going to be able to play sports? Am I going to be able to coach like I want to? The doctors put him in casts for a long while, hoping that the treatment would correct those deformities. And of course, there are doubts as you go along. Ultimately, Jeff's parents never entertained the idea of can't. They always encouraged a can approach to Jeff's healing process. Well, the treatment worked. Jeff played baseball and did all the other physical activities that he wanted to, that he chose to do. And I should also say that he proudly served our country as an officer in the United States Army, and he now trains higher level leadership skills necessary for those leaders to be successful in their particular roles. A good, healthy attitude is always important when you're faced with difficult tasks or when you find that you're faced with a long healing process. We live in a society filled with self-confidence, and we hear it said, you can do, you can be whatever you want to be. And sometimes when we hear, I can't, we quickly chime in with a pep talk. Oh, you can! Sounds good. Makes everyone feel good for a while. But sometimes it leads to disappointment and failure when those expectations aren't met. When the disciples, frightened of being alone, tried to talk to Jesus and say, oh, please, stay with us. He said to them, you can do it. You can carry the torch. You can make the church grow. You don't need me in the flesh. And if we look at the scripture, Jesus never pointed his disciples or to Moses' inner strength. He never wanted his disciples to rely on their own self-potential. God wants us to be realistic about ourselves. God wants us to continually rely on a strength that comes from above. Without Christ, we are weak, but in Christ, we can be successful in our calling. So instead of pointing the disciples to themselves, Jesus gave them a much greater strength. He promised them a power source that could accomplish great things. He said to them, "Wait for the gift of my Father, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you. Although John's baptism also gave the Holy Spirit, this baptism would be an even more powerful baptism, enabling them to speak in languages that they had never even heard of before." This is what gave the disciples confidence. It enabled them to say, "I can carry the torch of faith, not just to my neighbors or my friends, but to the ends of the earth." Jesus gave them the confidence by showing them the future of the church was not on their abilities and their know-how. The future of the church was in the hands of God. God would work through them. And if that weren't enough, God also gave them extra encouragement. As they were staring up to the sky, what happened? Suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Not only did the disciples gain confidence from knowing the Holy Spirit would work through them, God also showed them that he would use angels to guide and protect them. They had heavenly helpers to achieve God's mission. God is still speaking, working the same way today. All of us have been given the same Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to spread the gospel, to work the mission they were given, then the Holy Spirit can enable you and you and you to work out your mission. So you can with heavenly help, and you can with a little help from your friends. Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Easy thing to do. I can always wait, just not for dinner. But any of you who have ever had to wait for something really important in life ever, know what I'm talking about. A phone call from a family member you haven't heard from in months. A decision to be made that might affect you and your financial stability. A report from the doctor that could affect your entire world. At this point, the disciples' lives were constantly in danger. They needed more power to face such hatred and unbelief. It must have been very difficult for them to sit there for 10 days and wait for a gift that would enable them to carry on God's mission. But notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, "Go to your room, sit there alone." He only said, "Do not leave Jerusalem." He allowed them to spend time together as they waited for this gift. This is what they did. They returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to a room, verse 13, where they were staying. They were all joined together constantly in prayer. What's the significance of this today? Remember what his disciples had just been through. They had all seen their leader, the one they expected to set up the kingdom right then, leave. The angels pretty much told him, don't expect him to come back anytime soon. They needed to hash this out with one another. They needed to struggle with it, talk about it, come to terms with it. There's no way we can survive. But by being able to meet with one another, with fellow believers, they were able to encourage one another and to reassure each other. They were able to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit with eager expectation instead of despair. By allowing them to meet together for those 10 days, Jesus gave another reason for them to say, I can. They weren't alone. They had the help and support of other Christians. That's why the Church of the Palms exists. That is why we have each other to listen, to pray, to serve, to love each other, to continually reach out into a community who needs to hear us say, hey, you're not alone. You don't have to deal with those tough times alone. We love you and we accept you for who you are. We will stand with you and we will take a stand for you when you're not able to stand at all. You see, the church works like a big pile of coals. When those coals are piled onto each other, they feed off of each other's heat, keeping each other warm and glowing. But you'll notice that if one of those coals falls off to the side, it loses its heat and the fire goes out. That's what almost happened with Elijah. He had just won a great victory over 450 prophets of Baal. But then, Queen Jezebel threatened his life, and Elijah fled. He was left all alone in a cave at Mount Horeb, hundreds of miles away from home. And it was at that point of loneliness that Elijah fell deep into despair, and he cried out, God, I'm the only one left, and they're trying to get rid of me too. So God assured him, you're not alone. There are 7,000 that have not bowed a knee to Baal. And with that assurance, Elijah went back to accomplish his mission. That's the way the church works. We can support each other, and we're able to grow with heavenly help and with the help of our friends. So again, I ask, to what is God calling you? To what have you been saying, I can't? There is a difference between humility and unbelief. If at this point the disciples had still said, I can't spread the gospel, I can't work the mission, it wouldn't have been
humility. It would have been unbelief. My friends, we can know the difference. It's okay for us to say, I can't, when we realize that without Christ, we're only going to struggle. But now that we realize that we have the Holy Spirit and the support of each other, those are the reasons we can say, I can. So, continue to listen to God's promises. Continue to meet together in fellowship. Let's work together on the social justice team, the care team, and the many, many other ministry opportunities here in this place. Continue to learn from each other, attending cosmic Christians, Inchworms, Jumpstart. These are the sources that will strengthen you and enable you to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen.